You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Today's show comes to you on Monday of Super Bowl week as we look forward to the Kansas City Chiefs playing the San Francisco 49ers for the Super Bowl title. Today's show will feature two parts. First part will be about Eli Manning. It's the first chance that I've had to do a show since Manning's press conference on Friday to officially announce his retirement. I'll offer you some thoughts on Eli. We'll also play a couple of clips from former general manager Ernie Accorsi and from former Giant and current Pro Football Hall of Famer Harry Carson regarding their thoughts on Manning, as he calls it, a career. Later on in the show, we'll also talk with Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride. Obviously, Arrowhead Pride covers the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Giants' connection to the Super Bowl really at this point is Kansas City Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo. We will talk to Pete about Spags and about his contribution to the Chiefs as they've made this run to the Super Bowl. Let's start, Giants fans, with a couple of clips from Friday's Manning press conference. You'll hear first from Ernie Accorsi and then from Hall of Famer Harry Carson.
It's fulfilling. I mean, you feel good. You know, I don't... You need so many other parts for it to happen. You know, you need, like I said, you need Tom Coughlin. You need an organization. You need Tyree to make that catch. I mean, so many other things have to happen for you to be right about somebody. If he's in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong coach, who knows, okay? But it's fulfilling. And I think what I really feel the most is I'm happy he retired this way. When my best friend called me and he said, the headline of the Harrisburg paper is, of course, he puts his future on the line with the Manning trade. I said, I'm 64 years old. I don't have a future. Okay? But, you know, I never had a problem rolling the dice if I had to. If you feel, you know, all you can ask for in this business is to have a conviction. If you have a conviction, then really, if you don't go with it, it's your fault. You may be wrong, but, you know, I took this before. I wasn't going to stay back. Well, I didn't think I was going to get him, to be honest with you, because I wasn't making any headway in the trade. I was pretty convinced when he was his junior year, this scouting report that went viral that has been somewhat edited, by the way, over the years, but not by me.
Right.
It's convincing that I felt pretty strong about it right away the first time I saw it.
I was here when he came in, having been traded from San Diego to the Giants. I was here. Our paths have crossed so many times. We've had some conversations about playing in New York. He has done an outstanding job representing the Giant organization, but also the Manning family. People look at players and they typically only see what they do on the field. He did the best that he could do on the field, but he has also done so much for so many people off the field. And I think when you can have an impact on the lives of people dealing with various issues, whether it's kids with cancer, and, you know, you walk into a room and you see a kid and you brighten that kid's day by being there, it is priceless.
All right, those clips from Akorsi and Carson provide just a little glimpse of what we heard and what we saw on Friday out at the Giants facility in East Rutherford, New Jersey. The impressive thing for me as I was there on Friday was really the outpouring of love and appreciation for Manning, not even so much as a player, but as a person. So many former players, so many former coaches, GM Ernie Akorsi, all sorts of dignitaries there to be part of the event, as Manning called it, a career after 16 great years with the Giants. And that was really the impressive thing, was people didn't really want to talk about Manning the player as much as they wanted to talk about Manning the teammate, Manning the person, what he did off the field, how he interacted with them, how he represented the franchise, how he was such a good teammate, how he always showed up for them. And that was impressive to me because, let's be honest, for all of us, it's the most important thing is what type of human being we are, what type of person we are. And, you know, a lot of these guys were asked what they thought of Eli Manning's Hall of Fame chances. And you guys know, if you read Big Blue View, you know that over the weekend I said that I believe Eli Manning is definitely a Hall of Famer. Now listen, I do not believe he gets in on the first ballot. I think that there's going to be a lot of competition. We don't yet know who else will retire other than, you know, Carolina Panthers linebacker Luke Kuechly, you know, who will be a first-year eligible Hall of Famer the same year as Eli Manning. But I do believe that eventually Eli gets into the Hall of Fame. I think the farther away we get from his career, the more people will recognize and appreciate the two playoff runs, the two Super Bowls against Tom Brady, and maybe the memories of some of the bad toward the end of Eli's career, which I will say is largely not Eli Manning's fault. I've said many, many times that I believe the organization let Eli down, you know, much more so than the other way around. So, you know, I believe he's a Hall of Famer. You can go back to Big Blue View and read that piece if you get the opportunity. I would appreciate it if you did, if you haven't done so already. But as I said, I just wanted to get back to the really, really impressive thing for me as I went through Friday and as I listened to so many people speak. Tom Coughlin, Ernie Akorsi, talked to Harry Carson, talked to Daniel Jones about Eli Manning. And the impressive thing was that it just kept coming back to the kind of person that Eli is. And for me, you know, I always appreciated Eli as a player, but also as a person, the way he represented the franchise, the way he represented himself, the way that that he always deflected blame from his teammates. So, you know, for me, Manning will be missed, and I think we saw that on Friday, you know, from the outpouring, just from the number of people who made sure to be there for Manning as he announced his retirement. So, all right, Giants fans, you know, theoretically or actually in reality, you know, Manning is now the past for the Giants, and we have to move toward the future. What we're going to do right now, you know, we're in Super Bowl week. We're in sort of a dead period of time for the Giants. We're still waiting to find out how new head coach Joe Judge will finalize his coaching staff. We know most of how that's going to turn out. We'll spend a lot more time on a future show dissecting all of the hires and figuring out, you know, how we think the pieces of that staff might fit together. Let's actually change gears a little bit here, Giants fans. Let's turn our attention to the upcoming Super Bowl and to former Giants defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo, who will be leading the Kansas City defense on Sunday in that Super Bowl against the San Francisco 49ers. We know that a lot of Giants fans were disappointed a couple of years back when the Giants let Spagnuolo go and brought in James Betcher as defensive coordinator for Pat Shurmur. All I can say at this point is I'm happy for Spags. I, too, you know, kind of wish that the Giants had stayed with Spagnuolo. What I've always said about Spags is that I think he's a terrific coach. I think that he is a guy who, given talent to work with, given good players, given smart players, he can really do a good job in building a defense. And I think we've seen that with Kansas City in 2019. That is a team that, after last year, they fired their defensive coordinator. They brought in Spags. They changed their defensive system. They gave him a lot of what he wanted to work with in Kansas City. And what happened there with the Chiefs this year reminds me a little bit of what happened in 2007, where that defensive unit in Kansas City didn't mesh right away, but got better and better as the season went along. And to be honest, I feel really good for Spags. I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he's had success in Kansas City, that he gets this opportunity to be back in the Super Bowl. And after we come back from the break that we're about to take here, Giants fans, I'll play for you an interview that I did with Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, which covers the Kansas City Chiefs for SB Nation, about Spags and his contribution to the Chiefs.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It was always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, Giants fans, Ed Valentine back here on the Valentine's Views podcast. A little different topic for you right now. Obviously, we have a Super Bowl coming up between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. And, you know, one of the overlooked things about this game is the Kansas City Chiefs defense, and that involves one of the few actual Giants connections to this game. That being the fact that the Chiefs defense is coordinated by former Giants coordinator and briefly interim head coach Steve Spagnuolo. So here to talk about Spags and the job that he's done in Kansas City is Pete Sweeney of SB Nation's Arrowhead Pride. Pete, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Ed, thank you for having me on.
Hey, and you know, congratulations on the Chiefs getting to the Super Bowl. I know Giants fans have mixed feelings about Andy Reid, but congratulations nonetheless.
Thank you. Yes, we're excited to head down to Miami.
It's been a long time coming for the Chiefs. So I know it's an exciting time. Giants fans have been through it a couple times, although not in the last few years, but it really is an exciting, fun time for any fan base.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You should see Kansas City right now. It is almost to the point of electric, I would say. It reminds me a couple of years back when the Royals suddenly were relevant and were able to push toward the World Series. And now you have people in Kansas City, and it's a mixture of excitement and almost that they can't believe it. And so it's a cool time to be right here in the Midwest.
Well, let's talk about Steve Spagnuolo and, you know, one of the Chiefs who's actually been through this, obviously, with the Giants back in 2007. And Spags, I think, after leaving the Giants, he was out of the league a year ago, got a chance in Kansas City to run that defense. Just tell me a little bit about what Spagnuolo has meant, you know, to the Chiefs during this run.
Yeah, he's really been a point for them of someone who they could have confidence in, someone they could turn to. And he gives off this pseudo father vibe, I think, that maybe Giants fans can remember from his time with New York. And what's interesting about this is it started in the offseason. The Chiefs went from Bob Sutton's 3-4 to Spagnuolo in the 4-3 look. And what Spags was able to do was bring in his own coaching staff. One of those coaches includes cornerbacks, defensive backs coach Sam Madison, who has been really good with a lot of these players. And Spagnuolo also was able to sit down with Chief GM Brett Veach, and they evaluated the roster and said, I like this guy, I don't like this guy, I like this guy, here's why. They evaluated the free agents who would become available. And Steve Spagnuolo and Brett Veach reportedly played a big role in making sure they highlighted Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark. So the Chiefs go and trade and sign Frank Clark, and they said goodbye to some really big pieces in Eric Berry, Justin Houston, and Dee Ford. And supposedly Spagnuolo was in that mix. So that foundation from the get-go was important and good for the Chiefs for getting Spags, and they feel like they have the right guy.
Well, you do most definitely have to you have to bring in the right pieces to run, you know, whatever system a coordinator wants to run. How hard was the change in Kansas City, you know, from the 3-4 to what Spags wants to run, the 4-3, the more aggressive kind of, you know, kind of scheme that he runs?
Yeah, and I think because of these big personalities like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, the job that Veach and Spags were able to do in just 1 year's time, turn over the defense in 1 year, was impressive. And if you were thinking about how they said goodbye to guys like Eric Berry and Justin Houston, those were key guys in Kansas City, guys fans loved. And so fans were ready to say goodbye to Bob Sutton, but that was a little bit of a shock. And then you had struggles at the beginning of the year. And Spagnuolo would come to the microphone and say, we just need time. Andy Reid would say, we just need time. And I asked Andy Reid about that process the other day. And one of the things he told me was, look, part of the reason for the success was because he built this staff. He knew that they were confident in his system, in what they were trying to do. And at some point along the lines here, it would click. And that happened for the Chiefs after about week 10, week 11. They lost to the Tennessee Titans and haven't lost since. And again, kudos to Spagnuolo and his staff. And Spags truly has become one of the beloved figures here in Kansas City.
It reminds me, Pete, I don't know if you're familiar, if you remember what happened with the Giants, you know, in 2007, you know, leading up to that 2008 Super Bowl, where the first couple of games under Spags as a rookie defensive coordinator at the time were really, really, really ugly. The Giants gave up a lot of points. They lost really badly. And then I think it was week three or so, they made a really, really big goal line stand. I think it was against the Washington Redskins, you know, and from there, it just sort of took off. You know, it just reminds me of that where, as you said, it took time. It just feels the same way where it took time, but it's all coming together, you know, for that championship run right when you want it to happen. Does it feel that way to you as well?
Yeah, and I remember some press conference during training camp where one of the questions that for some reason sticks with me was they were asking Spagnuolo, how lofty could he set his goals for the system in year one? Because he has had years in the past where he struggled early on. And one thing that he said was, I understand that aspect of it now. I have experience. Last year was the first year he took off from football since 1980. So he was able to sort of get introspective a little bit and say, okay, maybe in year one, we won't be able to get as exotic as we might be able to in year two or year three with some of the similar faces. And I think that simplicity, that making guys reads and what they have to do as far as being gap sound and so on and so forth, and just making it simple has led to this success and it clicking here at the end. And the Chiefs players, you could tell, really buy into the system. And I think that goes right back to Spagnuolo.
I'm curious, you know, he does have, you know, he was here with the Giants twice as defensive coordinator, and he's got a mixed bag in terms of resume. Obviously really, really successful his first time around with the Giants. Really bad tenure in St. Louis as a head coach. A couple of bad defenses that he ran, one in New York and one actually in New Orleans, which I think was a historically bad defense. But again, even in his second tenure in New York, some success when he had, you know, good defensive players. So I guess my question is, when he was hired by Andy Reid, was there some trepidation in the Kansas City fan base just based simply on that sort of mixed bag resume that he's got?
Yeah, well, Chiefs fans are wild, and so they look at every move and break it down with a microscope. And so there were certain people on both ends of this, and some were pointing to his lack of success in initial years, and some were pointing to the head coaching years. Others were saying, how could the system work here with some of the players that the Chiefs had? And yeah, it was mixed feelings. And at the beginning of the year and even towards the middle, you know, I said that I don't feel like the defense really clicked until, you know, week 10 or week 11. That's more than halfway past the year. And the Andy Reid and Spagnuolo, they were tried and true, man. They kept saying, you know, we just need time. And it was getting late early, as New Yorkers can relate to with Yogi Berra. And eventually it really did click. And for me, it all runs through Tyrann Mathieu. He's been a blessing for the Chiefs, both on and off the field. He's one of those guys that is playing in a way that he almost makes himself worth two guys based upon all the things he could do and how quickly he can move about the field. And Spagnuolo's tendency here, too, was, again, with the personnel. He wanted bigger bodies up front. And the Chiefs went out and did that. And, you know, for example, there's a guy named Tano Pasnio who isn't well known probably anywhere but Kansas City, but everyone just wrote him off. And we thought that this defensive end edge player would be gone. And Spagnuolo, when we asked about him initially, when he came, was, no, I like this guy because he's big, lengthy, and he stuck with him. It wasn't a case of he was going to be pushed in one way or another. And I think you're seeing the results of what he was able to do.
Yeah, it's interesting. I remember sitting in a press conference with Spags when he started his second tenure with the Giants, and he was asked a similar question about how quickly can you turn this around? How quickly can you, you know, can you get this defense going again? Can you repeat the success that you had in 2007 and 2008? And he said, look, I'm not a miracle worker. I'm a coach. You know, he said, I can't. It depends on the people that I'm given. And that's what I've always looked at Spags as, is a guy who, if you give him the right pieces, if you give him players that can play, if you give him guys who can rush the passer, he knows what to do with them. And I'm assuming that as the year has gone on in Kansas City, that's kind of what you've seen over there.
Yeah, and something that sticks to me, too, is at training camp when Patrick Mahomes was asked about the defense, and even initially, he was like, this is vastly different than last year. I mean, Patrick Mahomes came into this season as the reigning MVP, and Spagnuolo was putting out different looks and confusing Mahomes. Mahomes was admitting that, much different than last year. So right from the get-go, there was this idea that he was going to improve the defense. And not that that's the hardest thing, because the Chiefs were among the worst last year, but he's made it among the best, which You're right. I think it really has a lot to do with the personnel, which I've mentioned a few times. I think he was allowed to pick and choose who he wanted to keep on last team and then ask Brett Veach the type of player that he wanted for these different spots. And so one thing led to another, and he had exactly what he wanted as far as personnel when it came to his staff. I told you guys about Sam Madison, and then being able to actually pick and choose the players like a draft. I mean, how often do you fall into a situation like that in the NFL? Sometimes you're just given what has been left over. And so perfect situation, and you've seen how he's been able to succeed. What I wonder, like, what's next for this? If the Chiefs are able to get to a few Super Bowls here, if they are able to win one coming up next Sunday, does he get another look at a head coaching opportunity? I don't necessarily know if it'll be this year, but I think he'll get one more chance at that sometime in the future.
That will be interesting, Pete. I know that there are still Giants fans who wish that the Giants had decided to keep Spagnuolo on, you know, when Pat Shurmur became head coach a couple of years ago. But I doubt that there are any Giants fans out there who wish Spags anything but the best. I know I feel really good for him. And I just good luck to you guys in the Super Bowl. I wanted to thank you for coming on. Tell folks, while I've got you on, tell folks what your Super Bowl coverage is going to look like over there at Arrowhead Pride.
Yeah, if you want Chiefs-specific coverage, you can go to arrowheadpride.com. My personal Twitter is PGSween, and so I'll be reporting from the ground in Miami. And then just SB Nation in general, SBNation.com, SB Nation social media. I'll be working with Kyle of the 49ers website to just try to bring you as some unique content as we can. We're really looking forward to going down there. And, again, wish you luck with Joe Judge. I hope he's the one that sticks, and we'll see what happens here in the Super Bowl.
All right, Pete, thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you again. Bye-bye. All right, Giants fans, that's our show for today. Our thanks to Pete Sweeney for spending some time with us and dropping some knowledge on us about Steve Spagnuolo. Thanks to all of you for listening. In case you you hadn't noticed, Big Blue View, I mentioned over the weekend that we crossed the 100,000 download barrier for the month of January. That's the first time we've done that here on Big Blue View Radio. Just wanted to thank all of you who listened to the Valentine's Views podcast and to the Chris and Joe show. We hope to continue providing you with as much good content, about the draft, about free agency, as many interviews as we can throughout the off season. We thank you for your support, and we ask you to please remember to subscribe, give us ratings on iTunes if that's where you happen to listen to the show. Let us know what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show, what kind of content you might like to hear. And just wanted to say that, we do definitely thank you for your support. This show is growing like crazy. We're happy about that. Obviously, we couldn't do that, if you guys weren't enjoying the content and downloading it. So we thank you for that. And Giants fans, we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
The Current podcast is back with an exciting new season featuring marketing executives from the world's most influential brands. Tune in to hear what's driving conversation in the fast-moving world of digital advertising with unique insights from brands as diverse as Hilton, Instacart, Moderna, Major League Soccer, and more. And in this presidential election season, The Current explores what a national political advertiser like the National Republican Senatorial Committee and a major CPG brand like Hershey can learn from each other. Listen in and subscribe to The Current at thecurrent.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Wix Studio. Designers and devs, you might be able to do your thing better on Wix Studio, a web platform with everything you need to deliver bespoke sites hyper-efficiently. Design teams get a ton of smart features that can take the grind out of web creation without it costing per-pixel control. Dev teams, you get a zero-setup, developer-first environment combined with an AI code assistant and your preferred IDE for rapid deployment. Search Wix Studio today to explore the full range of features.